The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, which is heard here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., where we provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And I can't think of a month in the past 3 or 4 years where financial advice in a language you can understand would be more apropos. We've seen this most recent month of October deal with some volatility, and volatility doesn't necessarily mean down all the time. Volatility can mean up too, but in the month of October, we've seen one of the toughest months that we've seen in almost 10 years. I don't want you to panic. I don't want you to worry. I'm here to provide you with a level of optimism, to provide you with a perspective so that you understand what's really going on and why this volatility really doesn't impact your long-term ability to achieve your goals. That's what financial advice in a language you can understand is all about. It's not about speculation. It's not about trying to find the best investment today, finding the best investment tomorrow. What we want to do is we want to set you up and give you a strategy that puts your total portfolio in alignment and into a place where you can strategize and build a portfolio that meets what your needs are. As you may hear some noise in the background, something that you might be interested in is today I'm not in the studios. I'm not in the Beverly Studios, at the Treetop Studios that we call it at North Shore 104.9. In fact, today I'm in Rome, Italy. I'm actually sitting in the lobby of a beautiful hotel called the Palazzo Naidi. It used to be called the Espera or the Esedra, I think it was called. I'm here on vacation to see my son, Jerry. You've probably heard me talk about Jerry in years past, and actually months past. Jerry is studying this semester at the American University of Rome, and it is his break right now. And so Laura and I decided to come out for a few days and visit with him. However, while we were out here, we saw added pressure on the markets. We saw tragedy across the across this country between the pipe bombing deliveries that went on this past week to the tragedy in Pittsburgh at the synagogue there. We've also heard that Whitey Bulger was murdered. We've heard lots of stories this past week, and I guess maybe it's only apropos that we try to put some sense to all of the tragedies that have gone on. It's no surprise, perhaps, that it's around the time of Halloween. But none of this seems to make sense, and nor does the market seem to make sense these days. But I'm going to try to help you weather through all of this. You see, one of the things that I want you to know is that when you're building an investment strategy, your portfolio needs to be prepared for down ticks. If you're investing exclusively at the bank, if you buy CDs and savings accounts, money market accounts, you really have nothing to worry about. The only thing you have to worry about, frankly, is inflation going up faster than the rate of the interest that you're earning on your bank account. But once you dip your toe into the market, whether it's the bond market, the stock market, whether it's international securities, growth investments, value investments, large cap, small cap, there is an element of risk. Now, risk can be spread in a variety of different ways, but when we think about risk in the stock market, we think about something that's called market risk. Market risk means that there is the potential that your portfolio or your investments can go up or down based upon the direction or the news of the day that's going on within the markets. And remember, that's why prices oftentimes move. Oftentimes, the stock market is considered a leading indicator perhaps of what's to come. But like everything else, the stock market can change its mind at a moment's notice. You see, what happens is when you see a stock price go up, or a stock price go down, it's often because there's been a break in what's called the equilibrium of the price. You see, like in any market, if you were to go out shopping today and you wanted to buy oranges and oranges were selling for $5 a pound, I bet you wouldn't buy many oranges. However, if oranges dropped to a price of 50 cents a pound, you might buy more oranges than normal. What you need to find so that there's an equal number of buyers as there are sellers, the people selling oranges as the people buying oranges, we need to find a price that's right, a price that feels fair. And see what happens in the stock market. If you look at any type of company, I mean, the best example might be GE, who we'll talk about later on in this show. But what is the right price for GE right now? Who wants to buy GE? Who wants to sell GE? And it's all a matter of trying to find where people believe it's the right price for the moment. Look, we've seen the stock market go up and down rather radically over the past 11 or 12 days. What is the right price? Because sometimes you could see the market up, as you did a few days ago, up 400, 350 to 400 pounds early in the day, and then drop, not just 450, but drop from the 350 that it was at back down to zero, and then drop another 350 points beyond that. That's a pretty wild ride. And then it ends up just down 200. Why does that happen? Because there's more buyers or more sellers in a period of time. And when that happens, the price has to move. And so there's a lot of uncertainty that's out there. Everybody has a perspective on what's going on in the stock market these days. Everybody has an opinion. Now, some could blame it on the political atmosphere. Some could blame it on the international atmosphere. Some can blame it on the price of oil, the price of grains, the price of gold. Some can blame it on the fact that it's too busy at some of the finest restaurants. Everybody has a reason why the stock market is going up and down. But ultimately, we have to say, what is the long-term future? What does the long-term look like for the stock market? I would say that the long-term future of this market is pretty optimistic. I know it might not feel that way this month, especially when you open up your statements a few days following the end of this month or the end of October, and you're going to see that there's the potential that your accounts could be down upwards of 7 to 10%. So that means that if you had $100,000 in an investment account, you could lose somewhere between, you could see on paper the loss of somewhere between $7,000 to $10,000. But let me put things into perspective for you. People always say, well, how am I doing compared to the market? Everybody wants to see, can I beat the market? Can I do better than the market? Well, if you really look at your overall investment portfolio, chances are that you don't have all of your money in the stock market. Now, we've talked in many shows before about the various levels, the various categories of stock-based investments. There's large cap, there's mid cap, there's small cap, there's international investing, there's bond investing, both high quality and low quality bonds, both long and short duration bonds. When you work with a financial advisor, when you're building a portfolio that's appropriate for your long-term goals, it's generally a strategy that includes a collection of all of the asset classes that I've mentioned previously. But oftentimes people are trying to build portfolios that have all of those asset classes with the expectation that they can still beat the market. Well, that's a very difficult thing to do. But one of the things that it also helps to do is that it doesn't pull your account down as much as what the general market did when times are tough. So I challenge you to look at this. When you get your statement in the next couple of days, when you look at the value of your account online, ask yourself, how much did my account drop over the course of the 30 days in October? If the stock market on average was down around 7 or 8%, ask yourself, what percentage were you down? Were you down maybe 6% or 5%? Maybe you're down 2%, or maybe you're down 13%. A lot of the reason that you'll be down will be dictated by the investments that you own in your portfolio, not necessarily what the market did. Because unless you have 100% of your money invested in an S&P 500 index fund, chances are that's the only way you're going to mirror what the market did. Now, here's something else that I want you to think about. a lot of people will look at their portfolio and they say, well, it looks like I didn't lose as much as I thought because of my allocation that I had in my investments. However, I want you to also consider, if you think that you've lost more than what the market did, ask yourself, did you take any money out of your portfolio? Many people are on what's called a monthly payout, where they draw a certain amount of money out every month. That amount that goes out should not be something that you consider as part of the impact to the downward pressure on your portfolio for the month. We have to be realistic. You need to look at the overall portfolio that you've structured and try to understand what's going on. What I'll also tell you, though, is the fact that because your account is down for the month doesn't mean that it's doing all that poorly for the year, in fact. Would you believe that there have been three other times just this year where the market was down lower than where it is at the end of the month of October? Yeah, it's happened three other times just in this year. Folks, markets just don't go up all the time. They go up, they go down, they sometimes move in the same direction for a long period of time, and sometimes there's sharp pullbacks and vice versa. When you're investing, you need to prepare yourself for the long term. And one of the things that I see scares a lot of folks these days is the fact that they're following the value of their accounts on their phone daily, sometimes minute to minute. They're watching CNBC. They have the app or the availability of what they have in their account on their phone at a moment-to-moment notice, and they want to try to figure out, what did my account do today compared to this, compared to that? This is a long-term strategy. The best strategy during volatile times is to play Rip Van Winkle. I know you don't want to hear me say that, but you know it's the right thing because we've done this before. This, what's happened over the course of the month, to me, is just normal. What we have had over the past 6 or 8 months or the past 8 years is not normal. It's not normal. What we had over the past month, this is typical. It's okay. Look, the tech stocks that many people owned, that they've ridden on what were called the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. These stocks have skyrocketed over the past few years. They've skyrocketed to levels that no one would have possibly imagined. And they're getting hurt this month. Hurt from their stock price, but pulled back to a level that is getting closer and closer to the valuation that it should be. Other stocks, some of the value stocks that have only been up 2, 3, 4% for the year or two, are finally looking a bit more attractive because people are finally realizing that there's more to investing than just investing in growth-based technology stocks. There's so much more out there, so much opportunity. And one of the things that I want you to feel comfortable about is that just because your statement is down this month, you should not be panicking. You should not be thinking that there's something that you should be doing differently. You should always think to yourself, do I have a strategy that's put into place? Is it ready to go for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years? Is it built in a manner that can sustain me and provide me with the income that I need when the time comes to draw dollars from it? Remember, your investment portfolio isn't all that you have either. There's more to it. You're collecting money perhaps in retirement from Social Security, from a pension. Perhaps you're working right now. Perhaps you're saving in your 401k plan. And man, what opportunities we have just been presented with ourselves with for the month of October. As we head into the month of November, these are the times to be doing something differently, to be thinking optimistically, to be getting into the market. If you've been holding cash, boy, we've got some ideas for you. We've got some thoughts for you as to what you should be doing and how you should be preparing properly. But for now, I'm going to go get myself an espresso. I'm sitting here in the Palazzo Naidi here in Rome, Italy. We thought it would be appropriate for us to give you a regular show rather than a taped show since I'm away this week. I thought it was all too important with all that was going on in the markets today. So give me a second. I'm going to run out and order myself an espresso, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. But today, I'm not located in Peabody. I'm actually located in Rome, Italy. That's right. I'm visiting my son, Jerry, who is studying at the American University of Rome. And Laura and I have taken a few days to come out this way. We had originally had thought about sending in a best of show for today's Dollar and Cents episode. But with all that's been going on in the world, in the markets, I thought it would be appropriate to just grab my cell phone, grab a microphone, and see if we could do a show right here from Rome, Italy. And that's where I am. The ambient noise you hear in the background is the sounds of the lobby at the Palazzo Naidi Hotel, located right in the Republic area of Rome, Italy. We've been having a wonderful time out here. And I've been following the headlines and all of the news that is coming out of the country, of course, on what's been going on with our stock market, with changes that are going on in the political landscape, and of course, some of the tragedies that have occurred across this country. This tragedy that occurred, surprisingly, in a Pittsburgh synagogue last Saturday was just a horrific event and makes anybody, certainly who is Jewish, and I am one of those, makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit unsafe about yourself, about your family, about the community in which you live, to think that there are still people out there that believe that the elimination of a group of a religious organization, and I suppose this happens also to the Muslim faith as well, and have happened to others around the world throughout our history. And it's a little unsettling these days, but certainly it's also a time of bringing a community together. And that's kind of my thought today as I sit here in Rome, knowing what's going on in the States, knowing that Halloween, October 31st, is the end of one of the scariest months that we've seen in the stock market in a very long time. And it's appropriate for me as a financial advisor, as the host of Dollars and Cents, to come to you and provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand, when all it seems like is that there's bad news and more bad news and more bad news. Now, from a good news standpoint, I guess there's a lot of celebration in Boston and around the country that perhaps Whitey Bulger got his due. We were surprised to get this notice here in Rome as well, that Whitey Bulger had been murdered in a prison. I believe it was in West Virginia or Virginia somewhere. Most people have just basically said good riddance and are not really mourning the loss. But the loss of life to anybody, of course, is sad for some. Certainly those. And I can't seem to shake the tragedy that went on in Pittsburgh and the loss of life that occurred there. But let's try to shape things up a little bit. Let's try to turn things around. And let me try to give you a little bit of optimism. Optimism about your investment portfolio, about your future, about your financial future, about retirement, about where you're going in life, because you decided to structure your portfolio in a manner that can withstand volatility. And that's what we've been going through over the month of October, is some volatility, normal volatility. If you've listened to Dollars and Cents over the past few years, you know that I was actually screaming for this. I've been wanting the market to drop from 26,000, and I was looking for it to drop down to 20,000 or almost 22,000. We haven't even come close to that. We've hit around 24,000. It's 10%. No big deal. In fact, it's normal. Now, if it was me, I would much prefer to see a pullback in the market happen in 30 days rather than 36 months. We had that happen years ago when the market would pull back about 0.25% every single month. That is painful. Someone referred to that as the cheese grater effect. They just chip a little bit of your portfolio away every single month. And at the end of every month, you'd open up your envelope with hopes that your account had moved up just a little bit, and nope, a little bit more was taken away from your portfolio. Folks, what you're going to see when you open up your statement in the month of October is likely to shock you. That's right. You are going to be surprised, and you're going to think about, look at how much money I just lost. Now, you're not going to think of it in the terms of percentage. You're going to think of it in the terms of dollars. You're going to say, oh man, I had a $300,000 portfolio, and now it's worth $270,000. I just lost $30,000. That's a salary. That's the cost of some cars. That's what you're going to equate this to. You're going to say, oh my God, I lost $30,000. $30,000 on a $300,000 portfolio is, yes, that's 10%. Now, my feeling is if you really lost 10% on the value of your account for the month of October, number one, your portfolio is far more aggressive than you're willing to handle. Or number two, and this is a more real possibility, part of the drop in value was because perhaps you took some money out of your account this month. That's what you're going to need to look at. You're going to really need to take a good look at the detail on your statement to see how much money was pulled out of my account. That's going to be real important. Because my guess is that despite the fact that the market was down around 7 or 8% for the month of October, if you have a well-balanced portfolio, if your portfolio is, say, 60-40, 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market, that you have an array of investments that are not individual stocks, that are in package products, things like mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, index funds, that you have both large cap, small cap, growth, value, international securities, a variety of bond-based investments. Chances are that your portfolio isn't down anywhere near like 7 or 8%. It might be down 4 or 5%. So I want you to disregard the number and think more about the percentage. Now, it's my hope that you're getting communications from your financial advisor that tries to give some perspective on what's been going on. In fact, that's what we try to do each and every week at my office at Friedman Financial. We put out a newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. More than 7,500 people subscribe to my free newsletter. If you'd like to get it, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand, go to my website right now, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of my website, any page on the website, and you'll find that there's a place to put in your name, your email address, and any comments that you might like. Many people sign up to this newsletter each and every week. Some ask, and they say to me, Mark, you know, it's time for a second opinion. I've been working with a financial advisor, or perhaps I've been working and doing this on my own, and now it's time to get serious. I'm finding that I have stuff all over the place, and with all that's going on in the world, all the chaos that's happening both around this country, around the world, within my investment portfolio, in my own personal and financial life, I can't seem to get my arms around everything. And I need to think clearly. I need to not let my emotions drive my decisions. I need to be rational in emotional times, and I want to sit down and talk with you. Well, frankly, that's what we do, and we've been doing it since 1968 when my father started our firm. I was 2 years old then. I frankly knew nothing about what my father did for a living back then. Well, why should I at 2 years old? But I joined my father's firm in 1991, and here I am now 27 years later, leading the firm, running the firm with my business partner, Marion Gilman. Dad retired in 2007, and so we've been running this ship for a long time. We've seen a lot of ups, a lot of downs. I was working in the heat of everything during 2008 and 2009 when the market pulled back almost 50%. Folks, what we're going through for the month of October is nothing. It's nothing. It's down 10%, or actually less than 10%. It's really nothing, and it's frankly what I've been calling for the past 4 or 5 months on this radio show. I've been dying for the market to drop because I knew it would be a wake-up call to everybody who's an investor. It would give you a chance to reevaluate, for you to rethink and re-explore what is important in your life. How much risk do you want to take? Are you trying to be speculative, or are you trying to build a portfolio that's appropriate to help achieve your long-term goals? Folks, financial planning is all about the long-term perspective, not what happens next week, not what happens next month, not even what happens 2 months or 3 months from now. It's important that you know what you have, that you know where everything is, and to know what everything is worth, and to understand the risks that are exposed. You know, when we do financial planning analyses for clients, one of the things that we're very proud of is something that we call a SWOT analysis. It's nothing fancy. It's something that they teach you in business schools when you're going for your MBA. It says, try to list out your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Now, oftentimes, if I were to ask you to issue out your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, I think you'd see them from a somewhat emotional bias. But when I do it, when someone independently takes a look at your comprehensive and complete situation, after talking with you about what your goals and objectives are, after listening to both you and your spouse, you can get a much clearer picture of where your points of vulnerability may lie. And some of those points of vulnerability are in areas that you kind of knew were there, but you just didn't want to deal with it. And I'm going to deal with this in the next segment. But for instance, what if you were a GE shareholder? Your livelihood, your fortunes were built on GE and Jack Welch and all of the great things that you did as you worked for 30 or 40 years at GE. And you said to yourself, oh my goodness, I would never abandon GE. They have been so good to me. Think of all the stock splits we've been through, the great run-ups that we've been through. Think of the dividend that we've been collecting for all these years. Well, if you've been following GE, you know that a lot of that has changed. Yet there's still this element of stubbornness that exists with GE shareholders. As they begin to wonder, do I continue to move forward? Do I cut my losses? What should I do? We're going to talk about that in the third segment as well. But for now, let's focus on what we know. Here's one of the things that I found that was rather interesting. You know, we all try to make our financial decisions based upon what we believe is reputable information from sources all around the world. And oftentimes we turn to professional money management firms. We turn to some of the biggest financial institutions out there. And one of the reports that has been out for a long time is a report that says, with midterm elections ahead, if you go back in the annals of, I don't know how many, it goes back to 1950. Go back to 1950 and take a look at how the stock market did in the fourth quarter of the years in which there was a midterm election. Did you know that the fourth quarter of midterm elections, the fourth quarter in the year in which there's a midterm election, has generally become one of the strongest months of the year? And people have been investing money in this wisdom, or this research, I should probably say. I don't know if it's wisdom. In this research that's out there that says, oh, maybe I should be invested in this thing. Because if you look, I mean, I'm looking at a chart here, and I'm certainly, actually, you can find this if you go to LPL House of Charts. If you go to Google, type in LPL, Larry Paul Larry, LPL House of Charts, you'll find this report that says October tends to be a strong month for stocks during midterm elections. And so this is what they put out. This is out for a while, actually. And it shows that October, November, and December have been historically extraordinarily strong months. Well, looks like they got it wrong for the month of October. But if this wisdom still holds true, and I'm not prognosticating what the future is going to hold. I have no idea. But perhaps with this recent drop in the stock market, perhaps with this recent pullback in October, perhaps we've just created some extraordinary buying opportunities for November and December. You see, my feeling is when you look at your portfolio, when you look at your statement that comes in your mailbox this week, I don't want you to freak out. I want you to look at your investments and say, am I well allocated? Do I have money both in growth investments, value investments? Do I have money in large cap investments and small cap investments? Am I exposed internationally? Do I have money in bonds, both short-term, long-term, high-quality, low-quality? Do I have a proper mix? Am I over-allocated somewhere or under-allocated? Was there an investment that far underperformed everybody else? Those are the questions that you need to be asking yourself. If you don't know how to evaluate that based upon the portfolio that you have, well, folks, that's a problem that you're going to have to figure out how to solve. Maybe it's time to hire a financial advisor. Maybe it's time to pick up a book and read about investing. But if you have some investments that far underperformed others, my guess is it may be time to rebalance. I'm actually going to tell you that if your growth funds, which I know growth funds performed worse than did value funds, perhaps it's time to take some money out of your value funds and put it into the growth funds. Buy low. Just think about this. When tuna fish goes on sale at Stop and Shop, when it's a dollar a can rather than $1.50 a can, do you buy more tuna fish? Sure you do. When the cost of a jacket or a pair of jeans goes on sale at Nordstrom or Macy's, you have a coupon, do you buy it with a coupon? Do you buy it when it's on sale? Of course you do. Well, folks, I'm telling you, like I've told people for the past 27 years that I've been in business, today the stock market is on sale. Is it at its lowest rock bottom price of the season? I don't know. But I do know this, or at least I feel this, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're going to be far, far more pleased that you stayed invested in this stock market and prepared for the future. I've got a lot more optimism, lots more to share with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Stop the beat when Hairspray, the ultimate feel-good show, dances its way on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. This 8-time Tony Award-winning musical is the story of a big girl with big hair and even bigger dreams.
Good morning, Baltimore. Every day's like an open door.
Hairspray is an irresistible show piled bouffant high with laughter, romance, and infectious musical numbers that are guaranteed to have you dancing in your seats. See Hairspray live at North Shore Music Theater from October 30th through November 11th only. Tickets today at nsmt.org and get ready for something big.
I don't have I do it for the love.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. But like I said earlier, today I'm not at the Treetop Studios in Beverly, Massachusetts, but instead I am sitting in the lobby in Rome, Italy, at the Palazzo Naidi. Yeah, strange that I'm not in studio this week. I originally thought that we would post a best of show, but after being away for a couple of days and reading the news of what's been going on back in the States, and I thought it would be appropriate to try to offer up a calming perspective, a perspective on what's really going on, providing you with some financial advice in a language you can understand so that when you do get your statement next week, whether you get it online, whether you get it in the mail, that you'll be able to put some perspective around it and realize that the month of October, as challenging as it was, as scary as the media made it all sound with the words like plunges and disasters and drops and just the words they use is just, it's crazy. It really is crazy. It's not that bad. It really isn't. I want you to put something into perspective. So the market for the month of October is going to end up, depending upon which index you use, somewhere around down 7 or 8% or so for the month. Big deal. That's my attitude. Big deal. We were counting on this. We were expecting for the market to pull back. In fact, I think back in the month of July and August and even into early September, I was calling for the market to drop from, when I say the market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, to go from 26,000 back down to 22, a 20% pullback. That's okay. It's okay. We can live with that. That's part of investing. You have to understand that risk in the stock market doesn't just come with the upside return. What you have to realize is that as long as you're investing for the long term, and I hope your investment strategy is built for the long term, I hope you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not cashing out my portfolio anytime soon. Sure, you might be taking some income from it. Sure, you might be taking a distribution from your portfolio. Sure, periodically, you might need to take a little bit of money. But as long as you're not looking to cash it all in and turn it over to somebody, turn it to cash, whatever it is. Leave your money alone as long as it's invested. However, it's been scary for a lot of people, especially if you've chosen to remain stubborn, and when I say remain stubborn, I mean really remain stubborn, because I can't tell you how many years have gone by, and I've been in this business for 28 years, how many people who are local here on the North Shore that lived and died by their GE dividend. Man, if you haven't heard the news yet, you better be prepared for a wake-up call, because GE announced, not only did they cut their dividend in half about 10 years ago, GE made the announcement that in January of 2019, their dividend will now be 1 cent per share. 1 cent per share is virtually no more dividend. In fact, let me put this into perspective, what 1 cent per share means. If you own 100 shares of General Electric stock, that means that your dividend for the year is $1. If you own 100 shares of General Electric stock in 2019, and the dividend is 1 cent per share, that means that at the end of 12 months, your dividend is worth $1. And you get your dividends, what, quarterly, right? Well, a quarterly dividend would mean you'd get a check for 25 cents. And you got to think to yourself, what's the logic behind that for General Electric? It costs close to 50 cents to mail a check to you. They're still losing money. So there's going to be some changes that are going to go on. GE looked to themselves and they say, look, if we're struggling right now, we're having some financial difficulties, we need to really reorganize this company. And one way to do that, frankly, is, and some will feel this way, one way to do this is to take it out on the shareholder by eliminating the dividend. They're going to save themselves several billions of dollars. But that's part of the risk that goes along with owning a stock. Dividends are not guaranteed. They never were. But many shareholders, many people here on the North Shore who counted on that dividend for income are basically seeing that income stripped away from them. You can be mad at GE all you want, but I can tell you this. You were warned. You were forewarned. And you all know it. You can be as miserable and upset as you want as you sit in your coffee shops and you struggle and you complain that, oh, geez, taking all this away from me. Folks, there have been multitudes of opportunities for you to be rational, for you to think this through and say, how do I handle this situation? My advice to you as to what to do with your GE stock, well, here's my advice. Here's the way to look at this. GE is now selling for around $10 or $11 a share. You all remember what that top price was at GE. You're no longer getting a dividend on the stock. Getting one penny. I don't count that as a dividend. So you have to ask yourself, are you comfortable owning a stock that will likely be extraordinarily volatile over the next 2 years? Because I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen with GE in the next 2 years. Could they break up into a bunch of different companies? Could they get purchased by a larger conglomerate? And it's hard to believe that there's a larger conglomerate than GE. Well, guess what, folks? GE's not as big of a company as you once thought it was. It has shrunk dramatically, and it is struggling. However, if you want to shoot for growth, if growth is what you're looking for and you want to be speculative, perhaps GE is a stock to own. But I'll tell you this, I don't recommend stocks. But I'll tell you who I would recommend. I would recommend looking at mutual funds, looking at exchange-traded funds, looking at index funds, leaving it to the active portfolio manager in a mutual fund to decide, should we be buying GE or should we be selling GE? I'll tell you this, I have a far more confidence in a manager of a mutual fund who's willing to buy 10 million shares of GE than I am of my neighbor who sits across from, or my friend that sits across from me at the local Denny's who used to work at GE and they heard something from somebody that now's a good time to buy 100 shares of GE. I want to trust in professionals. I want to trust in diversification in a mutual fund. I want to trust in people that actually are going to visit the companies, going to visit the manufacturing plants and getting out there and making smart decisions. But folks, if you're still holding GE with hopes that the dividend will come back, that the stock will just rise rapidly in the next couple months or year or two, I think you're lying to yourself. I think it's time for you to start to say, all right, what else do I need to own? Am I well diversified? Do I have a risk
attached to this. Now, here's something else that is not being talked about General Electric stock, that if I was a former employee at GE and I was collecting a pension from GE, I would be asking myself, well, if GE falls even further and GE has to make some restructuring decisions, could it impact my pension? That, my friends, is a fair question to ask and something that may raise the heart rate of each and every one of you if you're a participant in the pension program. Now, if your pension's, let's say, under $40,000 that you're collecting from GE, frankly, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think what will happen is, I don't think you have anything to worry about at $40,000. However, if your pension is $80,000, $100,000, $150,000, nice pensions, of course, chances are it's because you were an executive of General Electric. You're shaking in your boots right now because you're wondering what is going to happen. My guess is that over the next 2 to 3 years, GE's pension bucket is going to be sold to an insurance company. And you will no longer be getting your pension from GE, but you'll hear from an insurance company who will give you an option that says, we are buying the GE pension plan. We're going to buy all of the assets that are in this pension plan, and we're going to give you an option, Mr. and Mrs. Investor. You can continue to receive the pension that that has been provided to you by General Electric, or we're going to start to offer you some lump sum benefits, some lump sum options, so that we don't have to continue to make that pension payment every month, every year, all the time. It's going to be an interesting option. I want to remind you of the folks that worked for General Motors. Folks that worked for General Motors in years past had the same decision to make. They were offered the opportunity to take a lump sum, to continue taking the pension, or even to take a pension payout that might have been a little higher than normal, but would end in, say, 15 years or 20 years. You were given options, lots of things to think about. But this may be coming your way if you are a GE pensioner. I want to try to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. I do this each and every Sunday from 8 to 9. Folks, I remain incredibly optimistic. I really do, despite the fact that the media wants to only share the bad news. There's a lot of great things going on in this country. Companies, believe it or not, are more profitable than ever before. People have jobs. People are working, and they're getting to have control and make their own decisions. A lot of the news that we hear of the day is driven by what the media believes can be divisive, I should say. It creates entertainment. Believe it or not, news is in the entertainment business. If we don't have entertainment, you won't watch. And if you won't watch, then advertisers won't be buying on those stations. That's what the news is all about, folks. It's the entertainment business. The only thing that is fresh and pure these days, it seems, is sports. And how about it? The Red Sox, World Series champions. What a great series it was. Actually, I think the better series was versus the Yankees and versus the Houston Astros. The Dodgers series was kind of a fait accompli before it even started, but it's been a lot of fun. It's actually pretty interesting walking around here in Rome, and I've got a Red Sox shirt that I've been wearing, a Red Sox jacket. I got Patriot stuff. Everybody is checking in. So how about those Red Sox? How about those Red Sox? So it's been a lot of fun. Even when I was wearing my Patriots shirt on Monday, you get some different kind of looks. Not everybody is a Patriots fan. They certainly don't like Mr. Brady, but we're certainly big fans of him. At any rate, there's lots more to talk about. It's been a little challenging, like I said, this past week. That's why I wanted to do this radio report to you from Rome, Italy, as I'm not in the Treetop Studios in Beverly today. I want to talk to you about how we begin to prepare for the next couple months, the next 2 years, the next 5 years in this stock market with your investments to make sure that you're positioned properly so that you can achieve the retirement you want. And if you're in retirement, how you can feel comfortable that you can sustain retirement. No need to worry, no need to fret, as long as, of course, you're not invested exclusively in one or two individual stocks. And I don't think my listeners are. I think you're getting the point. I think you're getting the message of dollars and cents. I think you're getting the message of financial advice in a language you can understand. And we'll provide more of that to you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have one day on my mind. I do it for the love. I don't have.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Good morning. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across from the North Shore Mall and just above the fabulous Alto Forno restaurant. Hope you're all doing well today. I am actually not in the Treetop Studios in Beverly, but instead, yes, I'm in Rome, Italy. Rome, Italy is where I am. I'm sitting in the lobby of the Palazzo Naidi. I'm here visiting my son Jerry in Rome. And originally I thought that we would just put a best of show up out to you all this weekend, but instead I decided to change my mind and broadcast live right here from Rome, as there's been so much that's gone on in the news this past week, so many things happening that I wanted to bring you up to date, and I felt it was appropriate to check in with everybody, because I'm sure as you begin to prepare for your monthly statement that's coming in the mail soon, that you're going to be a little surprised with the outcome and what you might get from the change from the beginning of the month of October to the end of October. It's been a volatile month. Yeah, mostly those volatility signals have pointed downward. Much of it has been pressure on technology-based investments, but so too have other stocks faltered as well. What's also interesting is the fact that many other companies have come in reporting better than expected earnings. So it's kind of a mishmash of a lot of stuff, but the drop in the market is, frankly, expected. Yeah, it's expected. We've been talking about this hope for a drop in the market for close to 4 months already. I've been telling you when the market was hovering around 26,000 points, and in fact, I had my business partner Marion in the studio, we were cheering, we were hoping for the fact that the market would drop. It had to. Not a drop of 100 points, not a drop of 1,000 points, but a drop of a few thousand points. Frankly, I was actually hoping that the market would drop closer to 22,000 from 26,000, not just to a minimal drop of 10% down to 24,000. If you don't think the stock market's going to drop 10% in a given month, in a given year, you're crazy. I think we've told you this several times, that markets move in both directions, and those directions can be up and or down. And it is very normal for a market to drop anywhere from 10 to 11% in any given year. Frankly, this has been the second time it's happened already. And if we look at the end of how the month of October ended in the stock market, people will talk about the worst month drop since 2009. But let me put this into way better perspective for you. It's not about how much we lost in the month. It's about where the market sits at the end of the month. And would you believe that there are two other times this year where the market has dropped lower than where it was at the end of October? Yeah. We forget that in the month of January, it's hard to believe, just January seems like forever ago, but in the month of January, the market shot up like a rocket ship in the first 30 days. And then in the month of February, it dropped right back down, gave up more than 10% in a given month. Just kind of, it wasn't in the actual full month, it was over a couple months. You see, I actually think that the measurement that people use of how markets perform, whether it's month to month, year to year, can be somewhat deceiving. Because oftentimes we have big drops in the market that occur in the middle of the month. And if you're just looking at your statement from the beginning of the month to the end of the month, you don't even notice that the market dropped that much. It's hard to play in the investment world and in the stock market if you want to be speculative, if you want to try to decide, should I get in or should I get out? What you need to do is think to yourself, am I in this for the long term? Because there's been an old expression that says, it's not about timing the market, it's time in the market. And these are the times when we've gone through such a difficult month
that we begin to think, did I buy the right stuff? Should I get out? I've got expenses coming up in the near future. Should I get out because I'm worried? I'm retired and I'm taking money out of my investment account. Should I reshift my portfolio? And these are the times that I say it's time to sit back and take a look at that big picture. And if you don't have the ability to look at your overall financial situation, and I'm not just talking about your investment account, I'm talking about everything in your financial life. That includes your bank accounts, insurance policies you own, the money that you have held taken from taxes from your pay, the pension that you're collecting, the Social Security that you're gathering, the dollars that you have invested in your home, your second property, whatever it might be. If you don't have the ability to look at that on an ongoing and regular basis, then you need to make a change right now. This is where the urgency steps in. This is where the urgency says to you, you know what? It's time to get serious. I can't do this on my own because I can't deal with how I feel when the markets drop. I find myself glued to the television. I find myself looking at my phone. I find myself distracting myself from everything else around me because I'm so focused on a particular stock movement or the information from the stock market or perhaps just news and day-to-day events. Folks, retirement, your life is about bigger things, things that matter most. And what matters most is your family. What matters most is your health. Your money will fit in there somewhere. But I know that there are things that are far more valuable to you. Think about those terrible families in the neighborhoods around the Squirrel Hill community in Pittsburgh. Can you imagine what they're feeling right now? They were shocked and surprised by the attacks that happened in that synagogue on Saturday morning last week. That is where their priorities are. They realize that what's most important to them is family, safety, and community. You think they're worried about what the stock market did for the month of October? Absolutely not. Because you know what? They know they too shall overcome. The month that we've had in the stock market today, this past month, is not that bad. It's nothing like 08 or 09. It's nothing like the Great Depression. It's a 10% movement, folks. 10% happen every year almost. We simply seem to not have them happen so quickly or so dramatically or happen from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. But they happen. They're expected. Do not worry about it unless a few of these things have happened. Number one, are you using your investment account as your emergency fund? Now, if you're doing that, I would ask you why and simply also say, told you so. Simply because we've been talking for months and months and months and frankly years on this radio station saying that your emergency fund should be equal to 6 months of your expenses. And that money should be comfortably held in a very, very safe bank account with no risk of reduction in principal. Now, oftentimes people don't put money in an emergency fund, frankly, because they don't know how much they spend every month. Well, folks, that's problem number two. If you don't know how much you need to spend every month, do it today. It's not that hard. Go grab your bank statements. Take a look at the last 6 months of bank statements. Look at the very upper right-hand corner of your bank statement where it says total withdrawals and total deposits. Take a look at those deposits. Add up the last six total. Take a look at the total withdrawals. Take a look at the last six withdrawals. Take an average of those six numbers. That's pretty much on average what you're spending every month. And I know you're going to say, well, yeah, but Mark, this is the year we had to replace the driveway or we needed to buy Sally a new car or there was a bar mitzvah or there was a wedding or a graduation or we're beginning to plan for our Christmas vacation and all. No. This is going to happen on a regular basis. So why think that it's any different from times before? Find what that average is. Multiply that number times three. Multiply that number times six. That's what you should have in the bank. If you don't have it in the bank, you need to get it in the bank. And now you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't take it out of my investment account now. It's dropped so much. Would you be saying that again next month if the stock market drops another 10%? Get it out. Put it in the bank. I don't care where the stock market is. Get your emergency fund in order. Number three, if you're in the business of taking money out on a monthly basis from your investment account, and many people do, many retirees say, Mark, I want to take a distribution from my collective investment account to support my income. That is a normal thing to do. It's what you should be doing. It's essentially helping you with the replacement of your paycheck. Right? You're replacing your paycheck. When you stop working, you don't get a paycheck. Maybe you get Social Security. Maybe you get a pension. But you know that you need to draw upon your investment account to supplement your income. Well, let me ask you this. What percent of your portfolio are you drawing on an annual basis? Does the amount of money, not just the monthly check, but all the extra checks that you've taken out of your account as well, is that number somewhere around 4 to 5%? If it's 4 to 5% or less, you're doing just fine. Don't worry about your portfolio so long as that it's in, you know, invested in, with an appropriate asset allocation, of course. But if you're taking 8, 9, 11% from your portfolio, you are in a significant danger zone. You knew it. You were warned. You were told. Frankly, I'm losing patience for those that don't make that move because you have been warned. You were trying to be far too speculative and you're playing with fire. Now, will your portfolio come back over time? Perhaps, but if you keep taking 8, 10, 12% out of your portfolio, it is not going to come back quickly, and it may never come back at all. In fact, it may just drop to zero. It's scary. There are many folks that could actually run out of money, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years from now, if they keep taking money out at a rate of 8, 10, and 12% from their portfolio. You need to stop. And the way that you stop doing that is you need to change your spending habits. This is the stuff that nobody wants to talk about. Everybody wants to say, well, what's the next best investment so that I can make more money? Or maybe I should go buy Powerball tickets or Mega Millions tickets. No. The problem is with the person that you stare at in the mirror every day. You need to make the change. You need to commit to it. You need to be prepared to face the reality that you cannot continue to send money to the kids, especially sending money to the kids who are making more money than you are? No, it's time to stop. It's time to get serious about your personal financial planning. It's time to take control of your financial resources. It's time to understand what your personal asset allocation is, and it's time to stop worrying about the stock market and start worrying about how you are positioned for the future, how you are going to use your own financial resources to get yourself through the next 20, 30, 40, 60 years. Folks plan to live to 100. That's what's going to happen. You're going to live to 100. Don't say, well, my parents died at 72 or 75 years old. You're living to 100. Are you prepared appropriately? If you're not, give me a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give me a call. Let's schedule some time. Let's get your financial house in order. Let me straighten out your financial situation, or at least give you some clarity around to perhaps what you're doing well already. Let's make sure that you know what you're doing so that when the next downturn tick comes, you're not worried. When the next upward signal from the market happens, you're still not... You're not being overly euphoric. You're prepared. You understand the impact. You know what's going to happen because you know where everything is, what everything is worth, and you have the guidance of a certified financial planner behind you. Like I said, if now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, give us a call for a free initial consultation. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 8108. If you'd like to sign up for our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, it's called Planning Pointers. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the website, put in your name, your email address, write me a little message if you'd like, and I'm going to get out of here. Like I said, I'm sitting here in Rome. I thought it was so important to reach out to you, to not give you a taped show this Sunday. I wanted to do it. I'm visiting my son, Jerry, here in Rome, but I thought we would do this, give you a little bit of perspective. I hope this helped. I really, really hope it helped. Don't worry about what your statement looks like when you get it this week. Smile. Things are going to get better. If you need some help, give us a call. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.